So we are ready to begin the agenda point 13, consideration of the impact of private standards. We have a document CX/CAC 10/33/13 ahead of us, an analysis of the impact of private standards. Before we start hearing a presentation on the document and discussing it, I would just, from the very beginning, like to remind all delegations that we would hope to have a presentation and a fairly short discussion about the document in this committee, simply because tomorrow morning there will be a session, a side event, where there will be more time for more in-depth discussion about the impact of private standards. We just should bear that in mind, all of us. But anyway, we will start presenting. I just have a few opening comments on the issue. Standards is, that's what Codex is about. Standards has a long history, both globally, national, and private standard has a long history. Well, Codex have more than 50 years history, and they have made standards all the time. And obviously, standards has played a lot of a major role in the national organizations, and private organizations had made standards too. But the reason why we're discussing the issue, why we have it on the agenda in Codex, is that for the latest years, we have seen a new development, especially in the use of private standards, which have developed to a stage where they have major influence in many, many countries, both developed and developing countries. This development has created concern around the world, and a few years ago, the issue was raised by developing countries in the WTO, who has already done a lot of work on the issue of private standards, how they influence trade, how they influence the economies, the economic burden of operators in the market. And that's why it has also been taken on board in the Commission. In 2009, the Commission 32nd session of CAC in 2009, we had a discussion on the background of a reports made by independent observers, and that discussion led to a request to the WHO and FAO to carry out a more critical analysis where focus should be on the costs and the benefits of the use of private standards. And that's where we have in the meeting documents the consideration of the impact of private standards developed by the FAO. And I think we should, I would just like to make maybe 2 points about the document before we ask for a presentation, which on which we could be very happy in the Commission, I think. One is that it is clear from the document that Codex actually plays a major role also in relation to private standards, which is the issue. And the other one is that global collective private standards are actually not that far away from Codex standards. So I think those are 2 major points that we have to bear in mind, all of us. But we will certainly have a more in-depth discussion about that. But before that, I would like to invite the author of the document, Renate Clark, from the FAO, to make a presentation. And I'm sure we will have a short and precise presentation, which is the basis for our further deliberations. FAO, please.
It's been a long day. I'm sure you're all tired. And I know you're asked to think about very many things at the same time. I'm going to run through just the main points that are outlined in the paper that was just introduced, just as a quick reminder to you ahead of the discussion. The first thing outlined in section 2 of the paper is the scope. The focus of this paper is on private food safety standards. The major issues that are considered are the consistency of these standards with Codex and their impact on market access, particularly for developing countries. I flag that this paper does not consider the applicability of the SPS agreement to private food standards. This is not a discussion that will go on here. This is something that's being discussed in the SPS committee, and it will remain there. And finally, the review and analysis that's presented in the paper is based on information that came from various surveys and reports from various international organizations, from a comparative analysis of selected private food standards with relevant Codex texts, as well as a consideration of some of the member country responses to the WTO and the OIE member questionnaires, the questionnaire on private standards that were circulated at the end of last year. Before we go to the core of the analysis, there are a few points that I just want to flag for you to keep in mind. The first of those points is that we shouldn't think of private standards and public standards as opposing poles and repelling poles. Section 3 of the paper provides a lot of illustration of the interplay between the public and the private spheres in standard setting. The real issue has to be, do the private food safety standards support public policy or do they undermine public policy? In case that the private food standards do undermine public policy, then governments should, can, and often do take steps to address this. Section 4 reminds us of the driving forces that are the driving forces for the development of these standards. Another point I want you to bear in mind is the distinction between individual firm standards, that's private standards, private food standards set and adopted by individual firms, and collective food safety standards, which are typically developed by groups of processors or producers, because in the analysis you'll see that they do behave differently, so it's useful to bear in mind the different typologies. The last point that I want to flag before looking quickly at the points in the analysis is just to bear in mind that standard schemes are more than just standards. The standard scheme is the standard plus an apparatus for the certification and enforcement of the standard. So please don't forget that. The analysis, which is presented in Section 5 of the paper, is based on the identification of the major concerns that were outlined by developing countries in the various reports that I mentioned earlier. The stringency of the private food safety requirements with respect to Codex and official requirements. The question of their being prescriptive rather than outcome-based. A key point, the costs of certification and the requirements for multiple certification. The impact of these standard schemes on market access and on public health. Transparency and stakeholder involvement in the private schemes. And legitimacy of the private food standards. So I'm really going to run through the points just as a reminder to you. I don't have time to go into depth, but the first question was stringency. That's section 5.1 of the document. The paper first looks at numerical standards and makes the general observation that the collective food safety standards typically refer to official requirements when it comes to numerical criteria. They refer to the official standards. They are not more stringent than the official standards. In many of the individual firm standards, however, there are several examples of individual firm standards that do use numerical criteria, set numerical standards that are more stringent than Codex. The examples that are given refer to pesticide residue MRLs, sometimes as low as 25% of official MRLs, total maximum number of residues that are allowed. The key point being that the decisions made are arbitrary rather than science-based. Microbiological criteria is another set of issues for which private food standards do set limits that are questionable in terms of their scientific basis. And then the other category of situation referred to private companies anticipating regulation. In other words, if government regulators are thinking or reviewing or discussing before a decision is taken, they anticipate the standard, which, of course, causes problems with their suppliers and optimizes the retailer's ability to manage his supply chain. So the inconvenience is pushed onto the suppliers. Again, I emphasize that it is the individual firm standards where these more stringent numerical criteria are found. But it's important to note that individual food standards are an important part of the retail market, and they're growing. When we move from the numerical standards to the process standards, we find that the elements of GHP and GMP that are included in the private standards schemes correspond very closely to the Codex requirements. Okay. The bottom line is that the country's ability to implement and to demonstrate implementation of Codex standards remains a very important part of any strategy for gaining market access. Now, we should distinguish between the what the standards require, the what, and the how, the prescriptiveness. And this is a criticism or a concern, I should say, that many private food standards are prescriptive. I mean, it makes sense that somebody at some stage of the chain does have to give precise instructions on what needs to be done to deal with the issues that are covered under the GHP and GMP provisions. The problem arises when the detail of that prescription is determined by a group of people who are unaware of the conditions under which the management system has to be applied. So inappropriate prescription leads to inefficient food safety management and additional costs, and this is all about being competitive. So this is the concern that many of the developing countries in particular have raised. But there is an antidote for prescription. Prescription is needed, but within countries, the prescription has to be developed that is relevant to the local context. And then this prescription, and in tomorrow during the roundtables, you will hear that this nationally benchmarked systems can then be recognized. It requires time, it requires work, it requires resources, but this is the approach. Common issues in relation to prescriptiveness are around documentation requirements that are excessively detailed and burdensome, unnecessarily burdensome. Testing requirements, training requirements that become ever more specific. We've seen here, before we talk about the cost of certification, please remember what we said about standards and standard schemes. We've seen that the collective standards are very similar, highly consistent with Codex. But the cost of demonstrating compliance with that standard is an issue. Is the major issue in relation to market access by many smallholders in developing countries. The costs of certification disproportionately penalize small-scale holders. The costs include initial costs and recurring costs. And a major element of those recurring costs are auditors' fees. Multiple certification is a common complaint that producers or processors are required to demonstrate compliance to a range of buyers. When there is great similarity among the various schemes to which they are obliged to be certified, they're basically spending money to demonstrate the same thing many times. Now, there has been an effort by GFSI, the Global Food Safety Initiative, with their benchmarking scheme to reduce the burden of multiple certification, but there is no evidence that this is working. The impact on market access is very much linked to the cost of certification, because we do see that the smallest scale of operators cannot afford the certification. The public health impact, I should say, first of all, on domestic markets in many developing countries is also marginal, because these schemes are applied typically to the export market, where the domestic market is largely ignored. So the most vulnerable parts of the community don't benefit from these standards. Many developing countries and producers in developing countries acknowledge that when they are able to meet certification requirements, it really does give them access to more lucrative markets. And this is an important point. Particularly producers in developing countries whose systems of food control are not well developed. This demonstrating compliance to the private standard allows them access to markets that they would not have otherwise had access to. The final point I want to flag here is that the private food safety certification requirements are becoming more and more widespread in terms of the extent to which they are applied within various sectors, but also in terms of the number of sectors to which they are being applied. So if there are difficulties already, there will be more difficulties in the future. Transparency and legitimacy. There is limited opportunity for developing country participation in the development and review of private food safety schemes. And this is the root of the objection of developing countries, that market access is being determined by standards that they have no say in. In cases where participation or possibility of stakeholder input has been improved, there are demonstrated beneficial changes that have allowed smallholders to access these market opportunities. So the question of participation is not just philosophical, it is very practical and real. The paper does draw your attention to the fact that when we think about transparency, we shouldn't only be concerned with transparency in the setting of the standard, but also in the implementation of the standards. Governments and other stakeholders need to have information on market penetration or on the problems that are being experienced in the implementation of the system to be able to plan, to be able to understand the situation and react in the interest of the citizens. In many reports on the issue of private standards, there are calls for engagement between the public and the international public organizations and the private standard setting organizations. And undoubtedly, this is a part of any solution. But we have to bear in mind that constructive dialogue has to be based on access to information. If we're going to talk and discuss, we both need to know what we're talking about. Finally, the issue of cost of certification is key, as I said in the last slide. And what we really, and focusing on how we can reduce costs is going to be key in solving the problem. And it's not clear the extent to which the people who are making money from the business of certification are actually influencing the rules of the game. We need to understand it if we have to find solutions. The issue of legitimacy isn't separate. It's an integration of everything we've said, we've talked about before. But I suppose a key point is that many collective private food standards are consistent with Codex. They are consistent with Codex. So in general, the collective private food safety standards do not undermine national authorities in terms of what must be achieved in terms of food safety goals, but perhaps in terms of how they must be achieved. We go back to the question of the prescription, the prescriptiveness, and the ability of national authorities to propose alternative methods of achieving the same result. And here again, you're reminded of the distinction between the characterization or the behavior of the individual food standards doesn't quite follow the collective food standards. The individual food standards, there are many cases where they do not follow Codex, they do not follow national regulation. And we must be concerned with the misuse of food safety as a marketing tool. In the end, if the public's confidence in the food safety authorities are undermined, everybody loses. The main conclusions that are outlined in the paper, the key point I started with, it's not an issue of are they public or are they private. The issue is that the private food safety standards should support and not undermine public policy. We note that the individual firm standards do serve a product differentiation function, much more so than collective standards. This is why, perhaps, they go beyond science in trying to attract consumer, build consumer trust in their distinct message. But we must be careful that the distinct message is a truthful message. Another key point is about the cost of certification. It can be, and often is, excessively burdensome, particularly for small-scale producers in developing countries. Harmonization is an issue, and there's such a high degree of convergence, it would seem that there's plenty of opportunity for a much more harmonized approach. But let's not forget that there's a lot that is on each of our own plates, and that is what you do in your countries to implement Codex standards and demonstrate implementation of Codex standards. The fact that many countries cannot actually demonstrate that they are implementing Codex standards is an issue that has nothing at all to do with the proliferation of private standards. While we recognize that the what of the standard is very similar to Codex, we mustn't forget the how, and that excessive prescription can be a problem, and it can cause inefficiencies and even be counterproductive when somebody else's prescription is applied in a context for which it was not designed. Food standards are not static. I guess you know that better than anybody. Things change. Our understanding of things change. It could be that there is some globally valid prescription that could strengthen Codex standards, and there's plenty of opportunity for it to be incorporated. The fact remains that there is limited opportunity for stakeholder input into private food safety schemes, and we have seen that when there is opportunity for stakeholder input from developing countries, result, there are results, there are changes in the feasibility of the standard. Transparency is essential, not just in setting the standard, but in its implementation. So the considerations, some of the considerations for moving forward, we've heard in many fora, many times, that information sharing among concerned international bodies is important. But it's important that we're sharing good information and accurate information. So here again, we need to think about how the concerned intergovernmental and international bodies can be better informed by their member countries. Engagement is great. Without a doubt, it's essential. But let's be careful about the conditions for which engagement can be productive and what we expect to get out of engagement. We've talked about the need for countries to be able to implement Codex standards and demonstrate their implementation. And there is a consideration put forward that perhaps we can spend more time at the regional Codex coordinating committee meetings on reporting back from countries on what they're doing with implementing Codex, and even perhaps as an avenue for getting more information about the effects of private standards in each of your countries. Some of the private schemes are currently using a function of national technical working groups as a mechanism of getting stakeholder feedback into the private standard setting process. If it is working, and we would need to examine it more carefully, if it is working for those schemes in which it's being applied, maybe similar approaches could be effective more generally. We talked about capacity development. And again, let's remember that even the capacity development for you to be able to implement Codex standards, that is important, and so must the monitoring of those capacity development activities to make sure that we're having the result that we need to improve opportunities for market access. Nationally benchmarked schemes seems to be a way to overcome the problems of inappropriate prescription. The analysis flags, finally, the last point is, make sure that you all pay adequate attention to the Codex work that's going on and will continue on microbiological criteria, because this could very well become another element of private standards that could cause concern. So guidance is needed, and member countries have already asked for further guidance on performance objectives and food safety objectives. This work is relevant to the issue of private standards and their consistency with Codex. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, FAO, thank you for the document, which I think is very good and very informative to all of us. Secondly, thank you very much for a precise and fairly profound presentation of the document. Now, we should have a debate about it, and I think we should focus our comments on possible remarks to the information that has been given in the document. There could also be comments on, are there any subjects, are there particular areas of work that has been omitted from the document that might cause comment from delegations? And last but not least, how do we continue? What kind of role could Codex actually play in respect of the issues on private standards? Those are the questions that I would like you to address. But the floor is open. And I see we have already some delegations asking for the floor. The first is Mali. Mali, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Permettez-moi tout d'abord de féliciter chaleureusement l'oratrice parce que À première vue, ce qui est frappant, c'est que ce rapport est vraiment différent de celui qu'on a eu à la session dernière en termes d'équilibre des informations par rapport à ce que nous attendons. Parce que le constat qu'on avait évoqué, notamment que ces normes ne sont pas obligatoirement basées sur des préoccupations de santé publique, sur la science et la transparence, ont été confirmés dans ce rapport. Et par conséquent, nous avons encore des raisons à continuer à nous préoccuper par rapport à ces normes-là. Mais moi, je m'attarderai sur une question que l'oratrice a évoquée, disant que si ces normes privées sapent les règlements nationaux, il y a des possibilités de réagir. Je ne comprends pas très bien, parce qu'en réalité, ce n'est pas les pays exportateurs qui doivent imposer quoi que ce soit, c'est les pays qui doivent recevoir. Parce que nous, notre préoccupation, c'est de pouvoir exporter. Et nous attendons que les pays développés dans lesquels on importe et impose ces normes privées pour nous barrer le marché, que ceci oblige les opérateurs qui sont sur leur territoire d'accepter nos pays qui respectent le norme codex parce qu'ils sont membres du pays codex. Je ne sais pas si je me fais comprendre. Parce que ce n'est pas à nous de prendre. On ne peut rien faire, nous, les pays en voie de développement. Parce que ce n'est pas nous qui sommes les pays hôtes des firmes qui imposent ces normes. Et cette question n'a pas été répondue. Je ne suis pas du tout d'accord en disant que nous, les pays en voie de développement, nous n'avons pas grand-chose en ce moment. C'est les pays développés qui doivent prendre les responsabilités et dire qu'ils sont membres du Codex comme nous. Et par conséquent, lorsque nos pays respectent les normes Codex, nos produits doivent être acceptés sur leur territoire. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Mali. The next delegation is Brazil. Brazil, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Firstly, I'd like to thank FIO for providing the document being discussed here. Comments of Brazil on this subject are available at CRD number 14. I will briefly summarize our comments and make a suggestion on this issue. To Brazil, the main point should be the debate about the legitimacy of these standards when they are not in conformity with international rules and regulations. To Brazil, the document should emphasize the need for harmonization of private standards to international standards defined by Codex Alimentarius, OIE, and IPPC, and not the opposite. The document also should stress that private standards should be created in conformity with WTO's SPS agreement, mainly with respect to the criteria of scientific basis and transparency. To Brazil, supporting the usage of prescriptive standards of private schemes does not take into account the different realities of developing countries. The imposition of this kind of standard has great potential to become a non-tariff barrier to trade, and, at the same time, rejects the objectivity of science as a source of legitimacy in the making of SPS standards. Prescriptive criteria erode the governmental autonomy, both in the making of national standards and in the acknowledgement of equivalence of procedures. Brazil would like to suggest that, on the next commission in 2011, Codex should work on actions to both governments and the Commission to prevent the proliferation of private standards that do not respect the principles of scientific basis and transparency. Thank you.
Thank you, Brazil, for those comments. The next speaker is Uruguay. Uruguay, please.
Gracias, presidente. También deseamos agradecer a la FAO por su informe y las mejoras que ha habido en el informe con respecto al que recibimos en la anterior sesión de la comisión. Sin embargo, también queremos dejar señaladas unas discrepancias que tenemos con el mismo. En términos generales, no coincidimos con el enfoque subyacente a lo largo del documento respecto a que las normas privadas son un hecho de la realidad y que por lo tanto deben buscarse paliativos o atenuantes de sus efectos adversos sin atacar la raíz del problema. Por otra parte, muchas de las posibles acciones que se proponen en el documento de la FAO no serían en realidad competencia de la Comisión, como por ejemplo incidir sobre las organizaciones que elaboran normas y sus modos operandi. No coincidimos tampoco con el enfoque de que, y cito el informe, las autoridades públicas tienen la oportunidad de aprender a partir de los procesos de adaptación que están ocurriendo para cumplir con las normas privadas a efectos de fortalecer las estrategias nacionales destinadas a alcanzar un más amplio cumplimiento con la legislación sanitaria nacional. Fin de la cita. Si bien es cierto que en muchos casos los sistemas de control nacionales deben perfeccionarse, deben ser mejorados por sí mismos, no en función de sistemas privados. La Comisión y especialmente la FAO y la OMS tienen un rol clave en este sentido que no puede en ningún caso ser sustituido por organizaciones privadas. Notamos además que no se desarrolla suficientemente en el informe la cuestión de la confusión inducida en los consumidores, que es medular para el Códex. El título del punto 5.6 lo anuncia, pero luego no lo aborda correctamente. Las empresas que persiguen una diferenciación del producto a través de las normas privadas, que llevan a una pretendida mayor inocuidad, no solamente tienden a socavar la confianza del público en las autoridades sanitarias nacionales, tal como dice el informe, sino que además confunden al consumidor haciéndole creer que los alimentos sometidos a normas privadas son más inocuos que los que cumplen exclusivamente las normas oficiales. No existe mayor o menor inocuidad. Existe inocuidad o no inocuidad. A nuestro entender, carece de ética el tratar de diferenciar comercialmente un alimento por un pretendido grado de inocuidad. En cuanto a las acciones que podemos recomendar a esta comisión, apoyamos las propuestas de Brasil y además pensamos que la comisión debería manifestarse clara y contundentemente en su preocupación por los efectos negativos de las normas, en especial sobre las pequeñas y medianas empresas de los países en desarrollo, por la eventual erosión del rol de la Comisión en liderar la gobernanza global en materia de inocuidad de los alimentos, lo que asegura la salud pública y el comercio mundiales, en la confusión que generan los consumidores, la existencia de normas privadas que pretenden que los alimentos que las cumplan son más inocuos, y en el hecho de que las normas privadas obstaculizan el comercio puesto que no respetan el principio de la necesidad de la OMC, siendo innecesariamente y por lo tanto ilegítimamente restrictivas al comercio. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Uruguay. Your points are taken. And Colombia, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En primer lugar, usted comentó al principio de este punto que mañana hay un evento y quisiera, repito, en primer lugar, que se nos aclare cuál es el alcance de ese evento. ¿Vamos a darle continuidad al tratamiento del punto 13 o terminamos el punto 13 aquí? Porque debemos saber de antemano si lo que queremos es ampliar el debate sobre este punto o es un evento de información, un conversatorio, etcétera. Eso en primer lugar. Con respecto al informe, yo quisiera hacer énfasis fuera de las manifestaciones de otros países sobre dos puntos especialmente. En el informe no vi traslúcido la dificultad de acceso a las normas que se le llama normas privadas colectivas. Sabemos que por problemas de derecho de autor en muchas economías el acceso a esas normas privadas colectivas es bien reducido. Siempre me he preguntado, cuando un documento tiene una construcción colectiva, ¿los derechos de utilizar esas normas también no son colectivos? Entonces, eso precisamente en el documento no es tratado, especialmente con respecto a las normas que se llaman colectivas privadas. En segundo lugar, para no extenderme, la legitimidad también considero que es reducida en las normas privadas, en unas más que en otras, cuando no hay una participación amplia de las partes interesadas. ¿Por qué? Porque no es un acceso público, libre, en los foros de que se desarrollan estas normas. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Colombia. just to clarify the situation, when I mentioned initially that we, on top of the debate we have now, also have the side event tomorrow, it was simply to make clear to all delegations that there will be more time to go in more in depth in different discussions. But certainly we are going to finalize agenda point 13 today and draw the possible conclusions. But still, we're not going to make any decisions. That means we will try to sum up and draw some conclusion from this debate, but there will be further possibilities for discussing the very complex issues of the private standards in this side event tomorrow. So it was simply an encouragement to delegations to be aware that there are additional possibilities, also with the purpose of enabling us to finalize the debate tonight, because, well, this is a night session and we only have limited time left, and we have a few more agenda points that we also need to finalize. So this is the idea behind my introduction on that point. I hope that is satisfactory to the Colombian question. I see nodding. Thank you very much. Next on the speakers list is Morocco. Morocco, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was not here last year, and so I don't know how really the work in Codex has started. But I can tell you how it works on the field back home. So I would like first to make a small testimony how it works, and then I would give some comments on the report itself. We have been living with this private standard, and we have been looking at them taking so much space on the other official and public standards. And as has said my friend from Mali, we in developing countries, we are really in a situation from bad to worse. For instance, when one of our products tried to be exported to a developed country, generally, when you have done your job and you have respected codex and official regulations, you pass the test. But very often, the second step is those private standards, who are very often much more stricter than the official ones. And very often you are forced to get back your products. But at the same time, when you have an import of food from developed countries, what happens is that the exporters from those countries have the means, have the knowledge and have the political will to force their products. Very often I've seen a lot of exporters from developed countries using their embassies, using all their network of knowledge, etc., to pass on these products. And if you have any intention to use the private standards, you have no chance to make them apply. So let's go to the document itself. The document itself is interesting because it has a lot of interesting information. Even if I agree with my previous friends who have talked, they don't. The document itself is not very exhaustive in a lot of points, and the reason is simple. The reason is that the document doesn't take into account all the information and all the problems that are in the developing countries. And so, of course, it's incomplete. But what's the most difficult part is the conclusions. The conclusions, in my opinion, are totally unacceptable. We have all set of information and we reach conclusions that are not acceptable. So, according to the document, we understand that private standards are there forever. It's a fatality. It's even useless to find them, to fight them. So the developed countries are going to try to help you with capacity building or whatever to try to apply these private standards. The governments, especially in the developed countries, have resigned in front of the private standard setters. And so we understand it's not there, but from a person like me coming from a developing country, we understand that there is some sort of behavior.
Morocco, please.
We have 30 seconds.
Morocco, please.
Mr. Chair, I have 30 seconds left.
No.
So we understand it's a way from a government from developed countries to use this private standard like a barrier, technical barriers to trade. So what to do? First, I propose to revise the document, especially the conclusions, either through an electronic working group or whatever, to add recommendations that are a little bit more favorable to developing countries, and also, like our friend from Mali said, to push governments in developed countries to take measures to curb these private standards. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Morocco. Before I give the floor to the next speaker, I really have to ask delegations to respect the time clock. Otherwise, we don't have a chance to finalize this agenda item. I know it's of great interest to many, many delegations, and I have a long speakers list, so we need to respect the time clock. Otherwise, we cannot finalize, and that would be really a pity. That would enable us to hear all the interventions that delegations want to have. So the next speaker is on my list is Argentina. Argentina, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Nos sumamos al agradecimiento por el esfuerzo hecho por la FAO para presentar el informe. Sin embargo, al respecto, apoyamos totalmente los conceptos vertidos por el Brasil en su documento de sala CRD/14. Solicitamos que la Comisión trabaje en la identificación de acciones posibles a recomendar a los gobiernos para contrarrestar los efectos negativos de las normas privadas en el comercio de exportación de los países en desarrollo. Asimismo, requerimos que este trabajo deberá hacerse en forma coordinada con la OIE, la CIPF y la OMC. Agradeceríamos que esta intervención conste en acta. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Argentina. I'm sure it can be taken note of in the report. And I would like to announce that, as I said, we already have a long list, and I really would like to close the list now, otherwise we cannot finalize. We just have about 10 more interventions that I think that will take up all the time we have. So the next speaker is Japan. Japan, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chu. Japan recognizes that the issue on private standards is one of the most important subjects. Japan notes, however, that the codex should be benchmarks for these private standards and that international harmonization of food safety provisions should be based on codex standards. In this regard, Japan thinks the Codex should endeavor to seek mechanisms to facilitate standard setting, such as use of consent form that was discussed in CCEXEC prior to the CAC session. Thank you.
Thank you, Japan. The next speaker is on my list is Benin. Benin, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Je m'associe à tous ceux qui sont intervenus avant moi pour féliciter la FAO pour l'exposé qui a été fait par rapport aux normes privées. J'ai deux préoccupations. Lorsque vous nous demandez de nous prononcer par rapport à ce qui peut être fait par le CODES, moi j'ai deux préoccupations. La première, c'est que l'accent devrait être mis suffisamment sur les éléments différentiels entre les normes privées et les normes publiques. La deuxième chose, les associations professionnelles participent au processus de normalisation, que ce soit au plan national et également au plan international. Dans ces conditions, les associations professionnelles, c'est-à-dire les producteurs ou les fabricants, quel que soit donc le secteur, ils sont supposés prendre part à tout le processus d'élaboration de normes au plan national et au plan international. Maintenant, comment justifier que ces mêmes professionnels se retirent pour élaborer des normes privées et préfèrent les appliquer au lieu d'appliquer donc les normes publiques auxquelles ils ont participé à l'élaboration? Ça, c'est d'abord des questions que nous pensons qu'il faut d'abord comprendre avant de savoir ce qui peut être suggéré comme solution. Donc, c'est des questions qu'on me pose en deux termes. C'est des questions que je pose. C'est-à-dire, les professionnels sont partis prenantes des normes publiques. Bon, ils ne les appliquent pas, ils élaborent d'autres normes qui sont appelées des normes privées dont ils préfèrent l'application. Ça, c'est. Il faut comprendre un peu pourquoi. Enfin, il peut y avoir donc ce genre de comportement. Et ça, c'est une préoccupation que nous, enfin, que moi, j'exprime. Parce que si on suit tout le processus, on peut quand même dire tout ce que les critères de transparence qui sont prévus à l'OMC et qui sont prévus également au niveau de l'ISO ne sont pas respectés. Et de ce point de vue, soit ce sont les normes privées qui vont prendre le dessus demain, si rien ne se fait, ou bien, enfin, ça, c'est. Donc, c'est des questions que je pose en d'autres termes. Des questions de compréhension de ce genre de comportement de professionnels qui sont partie prenante dans l'élaboration des normes publiques, mais qui se refusent après de les appliquer. Donc, c'est des questions qu'on me pose. Je vous remercie.
Thank you, Benin. Then I would like to give the floor to Indonesia. Indonesia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for giving me floor. Indonesia would like also express the appreciation to the excellent presentation. And Indonesia is also view that the Codex standard and related text should be used as benchmark in the international trade, and tripartite food standard should be based on Codex. It will ensure that scientific justification and will facilitate compliance with international and national standard. Indonesia encourage every Codex members to make close cooperation with tripartite organization which establish tripartite standard so that they will apply standard and technical regulation adopted by government consistently. In addition, Indonesia also encourage Codex Secretariat to make close collaboration with the private standard setting body and concerned international organization so that they can request of separate status in the Codex Alimentarius Commission, which allow them to participate in all deliberation related to the Codex. tax setting. Thank you.
Thank you, Indonesia. Clear recommendation for Codex to engage more closely in the cooperation with the standard, private standards organization. Thank you for that, Indonesia. The next speaker is Côte d'Ivoire. Côte d'Ivoire, s'il vous plaît.
Merci, Président. Je voulais associer ma voix à celle de mes prédécesseurs pour féliciter tout à l'heure la FAO pour son intervention. Là, je vais essayer d'être bref et m'atteler à parler de prolifération des normes privées qui sont vraiment devenues une véritable préoccupation pour les petits producteurs et exportateurs de Côte d'Ivoire. Et j'ai été témoin d'une scène au point que la préoccupation aujourd'hui, est-ce que les normes privées viennent pour aider à améliorer la qualité et rassurer les consommateurs à l'autre bout de la chaîne? Je pense qu'aujourd'hui, je serai amené à répondre à la négative. Au point que je me permets tout de suite d'indiquer que les normes privées sont pour nous un handicap majeur pour l'amélioration de la compétitivité et de la qualité de nos productions que nous exportons vers les pays consommateurs. Et je vais m'atteler à la question. Et la question est la suivante. Quelles sont les actions menées concrètement par la FAO, j'allais dire même par le Codex Alimentarius, par l'ISO, pour proposer une véritable des normes, parce que la convergence serait peut-être la solution, pour qu'il y ait une véritable compatibilité entre les différentes normes pour faciliter, j'allais dire, les échanges commerciaux. Je vous remercie.
Thank you. Côte d'Ivoire. I'm sure there is always already a lot of cooperation between the organizations that you mentioned with private standards organizations, but I guess it's part of the conclusion we can draw after the many interventions that this might have to be developed further as one of the solutions to the issues that you raise. Before I give the floor to the next delegation, I would like to request delegations that if your interventions, your flag actually covers your interest in giving a statement to the report, then I would really request that you lower your flag and give the statement to the Secretariat to put into the report, simply to save time, because we have a lot of flags still, and we are short of time. That's just a recommendation to delegations. I hope that could reduce the number of interventions that we have left. The next speaker is Ghana. Ghana, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With respect to the impact of private standards, Ghana would like to support the position of Brazil that has been giving with respect to what the Commission should do. The paper reports on the conclusion that the ability of developing countries to demonstrate equivalence of alternative food safety management measures could contribute to overcoming the challenges posed by the prescriptive private standards. I think it is crucial as we look the way forward that cooperation with these private standards in the process is very crucial. And then the Codex, in cooperation with maybe the regional coordinating committees, could have systems in place that allows the countries in the various regions to take advantage of this cooperation and what we could do to help strengthen the system in our countries. The paper talks about the standard schemes and also a differentiation between the scheme and also the standards, which I think is very crucial, because what you call a scheme may, in addition to the standard, bring in issues of environment and social factors for which this Commission may not have an answer to. And it's important as we look forward to bring in these other factors. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ghana, for that intervention. The next speaker is Dominican Republic. Dimondi, please.
gracias, señor presidente. Realmente, la delegación de República Dominicana agradece el documento de la FAO, pero a la vez realmente se siente altamente preocupada porque entiende que aparentemente, no sé, creo que tenemos un documento que trabaja en contra de lo que es el CODES, y me extraña que sea de una institución que es co-patrocinadora del CODES, porque hasta donde he podido darme cuenta, este documento favorece la utilización de las normas privadas, y por experiencia de mi país, sabemos que las normas privadas van en contra de lo que es el comercio. Si seguimos permitiendo que las normas privadas ahoguen al CODES, aparentemente habremos de desaparecer. La República Dominicana apoya firmemente la posición de Brasil y de Uruguay sobre el tema de normas privadas. Gracias.
Thank you, Dominican Republic. Your points are taken. Cuba is the next speaker. Cuba, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. La delegación de Cuba también felicita a CODEX por este documento y se adhiere a lo planteado por muchas delegaciones, entre ellas Brasil y Uruguay. Para nosotros queda claro que en materia de reconocimiento, como para todos los países presentes, en materia de inocuidad, el referente mundial internacional deberán ser siempre las normativas de CODEX y que cualquier otro tipo de norma deberá siempre elevarse y armonizarse con la norma de CODEX. No nos parece sensato ni posible que sea de ninguna otra manera. Y que estas normas privadas deberán ser consideradas sin que se afecten los principios de inocuidad o cuando se vayan a tratar temas de calidad de los productos, teniendo en cuenta, y nos parece que es muy importante agregar, que estas normas privadas apuntan más a los procesos que a los productos, como reconoce el documento, como realmente hemos visto en nuestras negociaciones, y que por lo tanto estas normas detrás llevan siempre, de manera que es así, porque la vida lo ha demostrado, un proceso de certificación y demostración de competencia, lo cual conlleva a un coste elevadísimo por parte de nuestros países pequeños, que deberán contratar auditorías, auditores internacionales, someter sus productos a rigurosas y específicas materias de demostración de requisitos, cuando muchos de nuestros países hoy no pueden siquiera cumplir con las normativas del CODEX, porque no tienen suficientes recursos para lograrlo. Por lo tanto, ¿cómo podrán nuestros países cumplir con las normativas privadas? Nos parece que, de hecho, estamos autolimitando en las exportaciones a nuestros pequeños países y que verdaderamente, más que una contribución a la política pública, como establece el documento, y un refuerzo a esta política, creará enormes diferencias en el comercio internacional. Por eso la República de Cuba propone, si fuera posible, que el CODEX pueda preparar un documento que pudiera ser circulado antes de diciembre y sometido al análisis de nuestros países y que contenga un grupo de directrices en relación con el constreñimiento y el marco de aplicación de las normas privadas y su relación con las normas del CODEX, de manera que nos dé principios de trabajo para nuestro comercio y para la protección leal de nuestros países, y que también este documento, de alguna manera, CODEX lo pueda consensuar con otras organizaciones que hacen estándares públicos y también, ¿por qué no?, normas privadas. De manera que podamos empezar a tener una base documental de guías y procedimientos que comiencen a regular estos procederes en favor, sobre todo, de las economías más pobres. Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Cuba. Next speaker is Tanzania. Tanzania, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The United Republic of Tanzania also wants to join other delegation to thank FAO for coming up with this paper on the private standards and for its good presentation to the Commission. This report confirms the fact expressed by Mali and the other delegations that it is not based on science and the consensus, and that there is little involvement of the user, thus lacking legitimacy. Now the question is why these are being more applied than the Codex standards, especially for small producers in developing countries. This report probably reminds us to push more on the use of international standards set by Codex and other bodies that are mandated by both developed and developing countries. Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you, Tanzania. South Africa is the next speaker, please.
Thank you, Chair. I think we wanted to raise a few points that we thought were missing in the document. And the most basic, really, is that at their most basic private standard increase the cost of food and therefore contribute to food insecurity. That's really the premise that I think we want to bring to this discussion. Secondly, an important point that would probably illustrate where we're headed with this thing is if one thinks of the financial crisis that we've just put in behind us, that very soon we'll have probably a food security crisis created by ourselves in terms of raising the bar beyond what is required. And I always say that if tomorrow you had a short supply of any commodity, those private standards would go. Simply because, and then it becomes an issue of economics, supply demand, and suddenly the basis on which those private standards are based disappears as an issue. They are a reality, and I think I tend to favor the approach that the OIE has taken. It's probably more pragmatic that maybe Codex considers insisting on the use of Codex standards in terms of for food safety purposes where they exist, because that's what the OIE has said, and I think that it would help us a lot. But I think most importantly, I think as member countries, we need to take full responsibilities for private entities in our countries who participate or who develop this standard, because if we don't, it will cost us dearly in the future. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, South Africa. Just to comment on your suggestion on aligning ourselves with the OIEs, just to remind that legally speaking, there are certainly limits to what both what Codex can do, and I believe also to what OIE can do. We can encourage, but I don't think we can insist on anything in relation of the use of private standards. Next speaker on my list is Hungary. Hungary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have heard a number of obstacles which countries are feeling in relation to these private standards. Just for facilitating discussion tomorrow, I would like to bring to your attention some other aspects. It is widely accepted that laboratories testing food quality should be accredited. Private standards serve the same purpose in agricultural production, and it is very important. Just let me two examples. In this document, we have seen that some standards ask commodities containing less than 5 pesticide residues. It is not a good agricultural practice to have more than 5 pesticide residues in any fruits or vegetables at the same time. It indicates that they violate the rule of mixing commodities. And companies purchasing this product want to be sure that they put the product on the market, they will not be rejected. And that's why they have to take into account the sampling uncertainty, for instance, which is not considered at all in the current system. And we have an electronic working group starting this year, chaired by Brazil and New Zealand, which will address this issue of compliance assessment, which is a key issue. And that's what the private standards try to overcome with setting the limit half of the Codex MRL. So my suggestion is that you please consider what kind of actions can be done, and it probably can be done through an electronic working group during the year. Governments can do to raise awareness of good practice. And I can tell you good practices from Australia, from South Africa, from Malaysia, from Kenya, where this practice is in operation and working very well. And these examples are spreading for the other farmers. And in the frame of the joint division of the FAO and IEA, we have organized a couple of international workshops on raising awareness of good agricultural practice. And I think that another option to reconsider by FAO to renew these training courses to address these issues and investigate the way how the unreasonable accreditation cost can be reduced, how the unreasonable standards can be negotiated with the private entrepreneurs, but it's their right to set their standards. Nobody can question it, but probably governments can negotiate with them, and FAO and WHO probably can help to maintain the confidence in Codex limits, and nobody is questioning them, at the same time to give room for the standards showing how to comply with these standards. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hungary. A very concrete proposal on some future work. We will ask the relevant organizations to respond to it a little bit later, but I would like to take the rest of the interventions on my list before we start responding to it. So the next delegation is Wanda. Wanda, please.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, FAO, for the report, but I find it interesting and a little bit in conflict with the common belief that private standards limit trade between the developed and the developing countries. But I have this to say in respect of this report. Proliferation of private food standards is out of tune with general trend of harmonization to fast-track trade. This is a trend all over the world. This is why we are here. This is what we are doing in our region in the interest of trade. By accelerating public private food standards, undermine the essence of standard based on international consensus, and by accelerating such a proliferation, really in our view, diminishes the purpose of this commission, which meets every year to create consensus on international standards. And our experience is that as Rwanda, we have become victims of privacy standards where we have exported products and they have been rejected, and yet they were complying to Codex standards. And therefore, I begin to wonder as to whether private standards should override international approved standards. Thank you.
Thank you, Wanda. I think that legal question is being dealt with by the WTO, so it's a bit hard for us to deal with that in the codex. Next speaker on my list is Mexico. Mexico, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Respetamos la propuesta del señor presidente de no hacer una intervención muy larga y solo quisiéramos resaltar la preocupación de aquellas normas no basadas en ciencia. Y totalmente apoyamos la propuesta hecha por Brasil y secundada por Argentina y otras delegaciones. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Mexico, for being very brief. I appreciate that a lot. Egypt is the next speaker on my list. Thank you. Egypt, please.
شكرا سيد الرئيس ولن أطيل على حضراتكم مصر ترى أن المواصفات الخاصة قد تكون هي الباب الخلفي لفرض صادرات بمواصفات معينة إلى من لا حول له ولا قوة ووسيلة ضغط تعوق التجارة في الدول النامية ومن هذا المنبر يجب أن نفكر كيف يمكننا البحث عن آلية تضمن عظم الإضرار بمصالح الدول النامية بمزيد من الشفافية واتباع الأساليب العلمية بدلا من البحث عن بديل لمواصفات الدستور الغذائي التي كلنا نعتمدها ونسير عليها وشكرا سيد الرئيس
Thank you, Egypt, also for being brief. The last two delegations on my list is Cameroon and Zimbabwe. The other, I know there are, might be other flags, but they have been raised after I closed the list. I really urge delegations to finalize after these two delegations. We must have a chance to get comments from the organizations and try to sum up the debate and finalize the rest of the agenda points for today. So I would like to give the floor to Cameroon. Cameroon, please.
Monsieur le Président, merci. Et permettez-moi de féliciter Madame Clark pour sa brillante présentation de ce document qui est produit par le secrétariat. Un document qui fait une bonne monographie, hein, je dois le dire, parce que c'est une bonne monographie des normes privées. Et pour suivre votre demande, Monsieur le Président, de faire des propositions, des suggestions, je vais être très bref. En disant que les normes privées sont un fait et que nous ne pouvons rien contre cela, le Codex du moins ne peut rien contre cela, et que nous devons tout juste nous organiser pour pouvoir examiner la question plus en profondeur. Et l'examen de la question, de notre point de vue, passerait peut-être par l'envoi de la question au CCGP et au comité de coordination. Des comités de coordination régionaux. Et ainsi donc, la Commission pourra bénéficier de l'input qui viendra du CCGP et de ces comités de coordination régionaux. Et garder cela pendant les prochaines années comme un standing item dans les réunions, dans les sessions de la Commission. Je vous remercie, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Cameroon, and then Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for giving us the chance to speak. We would like to join other delegations in thanking FAO for this very informative document. We, however, have a few questions. The first of which is that we'd like to know if this review went into looking at the statistics or rather the extent of the problem of the trade contains, particularly from the developing countries, we realize. And then we would also want to know if these issues were actually raised as a specific trade concerns, because we understand WTO has got channels for raising trade issues as specific trade concerns. Would like to know if these were raised with WTO. And if they were raised with WTO, then would like WTO to shed some light on how they managed to handle these specific trade concerns in terms of the prevention of exports of products from developing to developed countries. Thank you.
Thank you, Zimbabwe. Actually, your question fits perfectly well into my list because I said that we have closed the list for national delegations, but we have a request from three organizations who also wish to give short comments on the situation with private standards. And the first one out of these three is actually WTO, so they have an immediate chance to answer the question raised by Zimbabwe. WTO, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair. In fact, first of all, I'd like to refer to our information document in three, which gives an overview of the work on private standards in the SPS committee. And it also makes reference to some of the key documents that have been issued. So for delegations interested in getting a better idea of the committee's work in this area, I really recommend them to look at there, especially since we don't have much time here. In fact, the issue of private standards was introduced to the SPS committee through a specific trade concern, which was raised by Caribbean island states, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, in 2005, and it was with regard to what were at the time Europe-GAP requirements on pesticides used on bananas destined for sale in European markets. So this concern was raised in 2005, but it wasn't really followed upon. And we are, as the committee is not really informed of the status of this specific trade concern. But since then, the discussions have continued, and I think a lot of the concerns that have been raised here were also raised in the SPS committee, and one of our reports, in fact, as a compilation, which sort of provides a summary of all these concerns. But I just wanted to, yes, in bullet points, highlight a few of the steps in the work of the committee so far. As I said, since 2005, discussions are ongoing and there were a lot of issues raised, but in an effort to bring more structure and concrete examples to the discussions on SPS-related private standards, the committee decided in October 2008 to have a three-step approach to be led by an ad hoc working group on private standards. As the first step of this process, the Secretariat circulated a questionnaire on SPS-related private standards in December 2008. As the second step, a compilation of replies summarizing the information contained in the replies received was circulated in June 2009 and revised in December 2009 in light of members' comments. And now as the third step in the process, the working group is in the process of identifying a number of possible actions regarding SPS-related private standards for the SPS committee's consideration. About 12 actions have been proposed during the discussions, but there is no consensus yet on which actions, which of these 12 actions should be forwarded by the working group to the committee for its consideration. In this context, it should be underlined that members have diverging views regarding the applicability of the SPS agreement to private standards and regarding any role the SPS committee should play in this area. Still, discussions are continuing to address, at least in a pragmatic way, some of the SPS-related concerns raised. And throughout this process, the secretariats of CODEX and the OIE have been providing regular committee regarding their work in their respective bodies. I think I'll stop there, and just to say that we haven't had any other specific trade concerns raised, but the issue has been on the agenda of the committee or has been dealt with through also some informal sessions earlier on where some of the private standard setting entities were invited to present their work. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, WTO, for a very short and brief presentation of all the activities. I'm sure that the WHO could have spoken a long time about all the activities that have been carried out, and it was also demonstrated by the explanation of the activities in the WTO that we are facing a very complicated issue, which is no big news to all delegates of this committee. After that, I should like to give the word to UNCTAD. UNCTAD, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the spirit of time, I'll limit myself to two things. First, I would like to use this window of opportunity to let the Codex Alimentarius Commission to thank them for inviting us, and we support the work you do. UNCTAD, for those who do not know, is stands for United Nations Conference on Trade and Development. We're just across the road. We make trade work for developing countries, and we are not in the business of doing standards or setting standards, but we look at what is out there, standards that are set by the Codex. For instance, you have a 12-page list of official Codex standards and the private standards that we are talking about right now. So we would like to put on record that we will participate actively in the Commission's work. And the second thing that I would like to now go to is the report that was presented by FAO, the comparative study on the impact of private standards. One message that comes out clear, Mr. Chairman, is that in general they said that it is these Codex standards are in conformity with the private standards. I think there are areas where the private standards are way over and above the requirements of mandatory standards like Codex. Mr. Chairman, you asked us to limit my interventions, make it short, because I want. You said there's an opportunity to talk tomorrow in a side event. You asked us what can be done by Codex. I think one thing that could be done, as I noticed through the discussions, is that we would encourage the Codex Commission or its subsidiary committees to look at private standards or Codex standards and its impact on developing countries for them, for its member states. Because why I say this is our own work since 2000 have shown. We've worked in Mozambique, we've worked in Guinea, we've done compliance studies, a series of compliance studies in the Pacific Island countries, small island countries, Vanuatu is represented, Samoa is represented. The cost of prohibitive, if they're left unchecked, unabated, these non-tariff measures are rising tsunamis, which prohibits the production of agri-food safety standards. So we would like to see if we can collaborate with the Codex Committee and its subsidiary organization to see the impact or analyze the impact of Codex standards on trade. Thank you.
Thank you, UNCTAD. I'm sure Codex is very grateful to have the cooperation with UNCTAD, which is another international body who do important work in relation to promoting trade around the world. So that's a very positive declaration from the UNCTAD. I just want to make a remark on, you mentioned that you believe that many private standards are more stringent than public standards. I'm sure that is also the conclusion in the document. We have to separate between the collective private standards and the firm-based private standard. That seems to be quite a distinction, and that appears quite clearly from the document. The last speaker is ALA. LAA, please.
Bien. Agradecemos la posibilidad de participar como representantes de los integrantes de la actividad avícola de 28 países en desarrollo de América Latina y el Caribe. Además de la crisis financiera, queremos recordar el nivel de alimentación de 3.000 millones de habitantes, recordando también el objetivo del milenio de la FAO. Producimos alimentos económicos y accesibles que se encarecen a los productos de quienes consumen y para los que no alcanzan a consumir, ustedes saben la respuesta. Trabajamos para gente, posiblemente no para completar solo documentos. Nos gustaría aclarar en relación a acceso a mercado, los requerimientos básicos a ser cumplidos con los, son los acuerdos sanitarios bilaterales o multilaterales entre los países. Que las normas privadas puedan ser de cumplimiento en negociaciones comerciales entre partes y no entre países. Alimentos que son comercializados con o sin una certificación dada por un órgano privado obligatoriamente debe garantizar al consumidor su inocuidad, el cual debe ser certificada por autoridad oficial y no ser empresa privada certificadora. Cuando un producto es certificado comercialmente podrá tener nivel de calidad superior, pero no inocuidad superior como base de información. La posición de la industria es que la vinculación de la certificación privada sea limitada a nivel de especificación de calidad de producto y no de inocuidad, lo mismo que esta sea una consecuencia natural de patrones de calidad diferenciados. Las normas privadas deberían seguir reglas claras y ser limitadas a cómo aplicar normas oficiales de países o normas internacionales, de forma de armonizar reglas y mayor transparencia para los consumidores, productores y gobiernos en el comercio. Vemos que este tema está más relacionado con aspectos comerciales que temas en técnicos en Codex. Sabemos que la OMS está viendo los aspectos que pudieran ver con obstáculos técnicos al comercio. Muchas gracias. No llegamos al rojo, ¿no?
Thank you, Ala, for a very short presentation. I think there's no doubt that everybody in this room agrees with you that the ideal situation is that trade is based on the public standards. That means to a very large extent, the standards developed in Codex. But we also have to remind, which was mentioned by the delegation of Cameroon, that private standards is there, it's a reality, and Codex cannot remove them. So this is what we have to realize as a basis for further deliberations. Having finalized a very long list of delegations who wanted to speak on this very important and interesting subject, I think it's time to give the word or the floor to FAO and the Secretariat to comment on all the interventions that has come up. And I really hope that my colleagues on the top table can give us some explanations of the possibilities that we have, maybe a few comments on the content of the document, and I would also appreciate if they have proposals for further actions that Codex could take. That would be very helpful. I hope they will do that, as other delegations, very brief, so that we can finalize. Time is running. We have to, everybody's watching the clock, I'm quite sure. So could we ask the FAO to comment on the many remarks that we have heard from delegations. Please, FAO.
I'll give a start. I haven't had so much time to try to go through the comments and organize them, but at least there are a couple of things that I would like to respond to. Of course, before we can go forward with this issue, we have to understand each other. And there are a couple of points I'd like to clarify the intention of the paper, if the idea didn't come through clearly enough, in relation to some of the concerns that I've just heard from several of you. The first point I'd like to deal with, let me quote something from Brazil that was echoed by several other delegations, that we should be talking about harmonization of private food standards with Codex and not the other way around. I agree completely, and if there's anything in the document that made you think we were suggesting otherwise, then it was just perhaps my unclear writing. I want to go on this point. The examination of the collective food safety standards demonstrates that they are compatible with Codex. And that is the first thing to note. They are compatible with Codex. But remember, too, Codex is focused on what needs to be done and much less so on how it should be done. So you can have standards that go beyond Codex that are still compatible with Codex. They're consistent with what Codex says to be done, but they're going further in saying how it should be done. That brings us to the second point, the point about prescriptiveness. Because it is very possible, it is even likely, that somebody that puts a bunch of detail into a private standard in his context, without knowing your context, is going to get some things wrong, without doubt. So what do we do? Let's look at what has been the reaction of producer groups and even countries. It has been nationally benchmarked schemes. In other words, we see what you're saying, we see what doesn't make sense to us, we adjust it. There are examples in the paper, for example, with the Kenya fresh produce exporters in relation to water sources and documentation requirements. They said, you know, this detail doesn't suit us. This detail suits us. Please consider it. And once they were given access, and this is a key point, the people who set the standards and review the standards have to have the information. And quite often, the system of the private standard setting is not open to that information. When it is open to that information, information can be accepted. And there are examples where it was. I'm not saying that I think that every private standard scheme in the world is going to be so open. I'm just saying that there is a mechanism. It has worked. Let us understand how we can, what we can learn from those cases that have worked. So I agree 100% with Brazil. We're not saying Codex run around and harmonize with the private food standards. That's not what we're saying. We agree with you that it has to be the other way around. And we are heartened that it seems that it is that way around. We should also continue to be vigilant that it remains that way. So it is very good that we are all interested. We are all aware that if it's not the case, a lot of things will go wrong. So we remain vigilant. So far, so good, but let's keep it that way. The individual firm standards, maybe there's something that needs to be done. And we have to figure out what and how. Perhaps engagement is part of the issue. Awareness is part of the issue. And we'll understand how we go about that. Someone made specific reference to something that was actually written in the paper that was interpreted in the way I did not intend it. It's in relation to this idea about private standards being harmonized with Codex and not vice versa. Someone made reference to this national governments learning from how food chains have adapted to be able to implement private standards. I'm talking about the implementation strategy. In other words, quite often there is a driver that's missing. We do training and training, but the producers are not responding. There's an economic barrier. There's something in the marketing chain that does not allow them or that does not encourage them to do the right thing. So with that statement about what can we learn about how chains have adapted themselves to be able to meet standards was in terms of the strategies that governments can put in place to make sure that implementation strategies are feasible. It's not talking about the standard being adjusted to a private standard. There's another point that I made that wasn't specifically commented on, but I would again like to clarify the meaning. It was this idea that globally valid prescription could, if member countries wanted it to, could be incorporated back in Codex. We go back to what I said before. Codex is focused on the what and much less so the how. And there's a good reason for that. They're global standards. And we cannot include globally invalid prescription. But if with the experience of implementing standards, whether they be public or private, from the experience of implementing standards, from our learning from that process, maybe we can figure out that some of that detail is globally valid. Standards aren't static. We learn things we didn't know so well before. We can figure out a way to make a standard better. And there again, I would like to emphasize there was no implication that Codex should be following private standards, just that we continue, as we always are, to adjust our recommendations in light of the best information that we have. There was another, there was a comment related to the fact that, you know, we can't do anything about it. Private food standards are subjected upon us. And if perhaps we act individually, maybe that is true. But many countries and producer groups within countries have reacted. If there is a system and a program to facilitate the process, I refer, and Kenya has been widely studied for this reason, because there are still some small and medium scale producers that are accessing the export markets with very high standards. So it's not that I expect that individually we can say, hey, you have to accept this, even though we're not following your prescription. But I'm pointing to a process that, with the support of producer groups, with the support of government, with good government and their local private sector interaction, that we can find ways of defining the detail or the prescription that suits us, and then promoting its recognition. So it is not an immediate solution, but it is a process. It is a process that at least partly lies with us. With you. The last point that I would like to go to was this issue of cost of certification, because it's a key point. It's a key point, and I admit there's a lot that we don't know. While we were doing the research for this paper, I was particularly struck by what's going on in the U.S. fresh produce market. A private sector initiative with the interest and support of regulators, but there were the three points that I put in the paper that struck me. One, that the United Fresh Produce Initiative, they're saying we don't want 20 standards, we want one. In any case, when we look at all of these food safety standards for the fresh produce market, they said, hey, they're all very similar. So why do we need all of them? So they've started this process of saying, we are going to make one standard for which there will be a wide choice of certifying bodies who can do the accreditation. And they've also said, we want to cut down all of the time that will be spent auditing and documenting. So our concern is food safety, and it will be limited to food safety. This would seem to me to be a very coherent strategy for minimizing costs. And there's something maybe that the rest of us can learn as we watch how the process develops. Because if we do have 20 collective private food safety standards, even if we do say the standards are compatible with Codex, a logical question is, do we need 20 of them? I don't know. Let's figure it out. Does it have something to do that they are schemes, and it is the scheme and the whole process of certification that is another business? Do we need to understand this better to be able to understand the dynamics? And we certainly need to understand the dynamics to be able to address that question about what are the various ways in which we can address the issue of cost of certification. Because demonstrating compliance is essential. The question is, let us demonstrate compliance in the most efficient way without compromising food safety, because that's part of the cost of doing business, and it must remain so.
Just a few words to complement what my colleague Renata Clark has provided in terms of explanation, let's say, of the document, so that there wouldn't be any misunderstanding that we are favoring or have a positive, let's say, opinion about private standards vis-à-vis Codex. We definitely continue to support Codex and public standards as the benchmarking standards. But I just want to highlight a few proposals that has been made for actions that we can take in the future to deal with this. And I have noted in particular, there was a proposal from Benin, which I was very interested in hearing, and that is, he said, why do our producers and processors are applying this, and they are not looking at the public standards, and they are taking these private standards and trying applying them? There must be something that is attracting them to do it and not doing it for the private for the public standards. And this, I think, deserves a study. And we would be very much willing to carry out this type of study to see, look at with producers and processors, and perhaps also those involved in the trade of these products in developing countries, to try to understand what makes them sometimes they invest and high costs to apply these standards locally, and what is the advantage of doing this. Second, there were also two proposals that are quite similar from Indonesia and Ghana, suggesting that there should be some cooperation or collaboration between the private standard entities and Codex. And I think this, we should try to pursue this. If not Codex, it would be with the parent organizations of Codex. FAO is in touch with many of these, particularly our trade division. It has undertaken a number of studies on this matter, and we would be willing to explore more collaboration and cooperation with particularly those entities or the collective standards which are much more interesting to work with. The other suggestion that was made is the establishment is from Hungary, and it's about the revival of the training course on GAP. I think that is a very important proposal, and we should look into the possibilities of working with our joint division in Vienna to launch back this type of course, because we think it's very, very useful, as there are no other type of courses of this sort that are given by international organizations. The third is the proposal from UNCTAD to try to study the impact on developing countries of the private standards, the economic impact and the impact on their trade. Some work has already been done by our trade division, but I think we can perhaps get together with UNCTAD to try to have probably more in-depth study on a few countries that we can take as model for this thing. I must say also that the issue of private standard has been discussed at one of the governing bodies of FAO, that's COAG, is the Codex Committee on Agriculture, and there was very interesting discussion that took place in that committee, which, while raising some of the concerns that we heard here, had encouraged the FAO and also the member countries to try to understand why these standards are taking more and more space in the trade business in developing countries, and why the public standards are not taking that much space now, and what are the reasons behind, and try to find a solution to the problems that may exist with the implementation of the private standards. I think one of the reasons we're highlighting the paper is the fact that our standards and codex standards and public standards in general, they tell you what, not how. And probably we have to be thinking a little bit more as member, as codex, but also the parent organization, how to provide the how, so that we can help the countries also implement the public standards, in particular also the codex standards. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO. Give me 2 seconds to consult before I try to sum up. Please, delegates, the Secretariat have a few remarks before we try to sum up this very interesting debate. Secretariat, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. In addition to what was mentioned by our colleagues from FAO, also we have followed this debate on and the COAG in FAO, and this is the subject of private standards is taken up in various instances, and there will also be a study on, especially that was especially on smallholder, because that was more in perspective of agriculture itself. And they mentioned, in fact, the work we were doing in Codex and what was being done in FAO, in WTO as well, and OIE. Mr. Chairman, we had also, that will be perhaps for the next step or the next commission, further studies, and FAO will see what they can do, as our director explained. From a more immediate and perhaps matter-of-fact point of view, we had also a suggestion, and that was to consider this issue, not to lose time and to have the feedback from the countries. Here we had a general discussion, but there was a suggestion, and it would be a very good proposal to discuss it in the regional coordinating committees. We already have in one of these committees a proposal to discuss it, which was made independently. So we could, now I think we keep adding, and there is more and more work for the regional committees, but that's from them we need a lot of feedback as well. So that would be to forward the document for consideration in all the regional committees, and asking countries, of course, there if they could come up with some proposal. We had the CRD from Brazil, if we could have any more concrete proposals, and also identifying, what's very interesting is to identify what are practical problems, if we could have a lot of examples as well that could be used further by FAO. whenever they are studying this problem and trying to come up with the more data, because sometimes it's difficult to evaluate the impact, etc. So to have as much feedback from the countries and from the regional perspective, so to keep discussing it in Codex and get all the views, it would be good to circulate this document and ask the views of the regional committees. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. I think a number of the requests that has been raised by delegations has actually been responded to by the explanation from the FAO and the Secretariat. And it's apparent that a number of the activities that could be taken on board would actually fit into what the FAO is doing. And we are pleased to hear that they take on board and they are engaged in taking these activities. I think in addition to that, if we should try to sum up what we could conclude that might be what we should do in a Codex context. First of all, I think we agree that if there are legal trade implications of private standards, it is really something that is being dealt with by the WTO, and I think that's a very clear distinction of what we're doing. In addition to that, it is quite clear that there is a wish for both for Codex and for the organization for FAO and probably also for WHO to engage more deeply with the private standard setting bodies, especially the global private standard setting bodies. And we can certainly, we can encourage from the Codex side, we can encourage these organizations to take on board that cooperation, and we might encourage them to become observers. That would create a platform for direct discussion with these organizations. And I also understand that the FAO and WHO, at least FAO, are willing to take closer contact with these. And if they do that in an informal or they want to develop agreements with these organizations, it's really up to FAO if what kind of how formal they want to take on board these activities. Then it was mentioned by, I think, several delegations that this issue might be relevant to take on board in the regional committees, which I think is a very good idea. So we could take in the report that we recommend that regional committees take up the issue of private standards and discuss it. That could give a very good opportunity for analyzing in a more concrete context what problems different regions have and what activity they could take on board as regions, but also as countries. We have heard very clearly that part of the issue of dealing with the problems that is created by private standards is actually something that has to be taken up at national level to engage with these organizations, to challenge them on what they are doing to create workable results for all the small-scale operators who might be involved negatively by or influenced negatively from the private standards development. Another very important issue that has been mentioned by many delegations is the financial burden that comes to especially small-scale producers due to the proliferation of private standards. And I think we could also conclude that Codex encourage such organizations to develop the use of auditors. That means cooperating closer so that they can actually act in more cooperation with each other to limit the number of auditors that has to be active in the market. That could reduce the financial burden for small-scale producers significantly if that was developed. And we heard from the FAO that such activities has taken place somewhere. I think those are the general analysis that we could draw from our debate. And then I would like to give the information that tomorrow in the side event we're going to have, we expect that there will be, one of the interventions will be a proposal from the GFSI that they would introduce a pilot project where they want to develop some of their activities based on Codex standards, that would take Codex standards as reference for their further work. And I think that will be interesting for all of us to listen to that, to see what is the actual content. And that might be a very prospective way of engaging with these organizations. That I think that's the first time that one of these global standard bodies has actually promised to go into that kind of activity as we see here. I hope those conclusions are satisfactory to delegations, and then I encourage everybody to participate in that side event tomorrow, which will give a lot of possibilities further debate on this subject. And I can inform the Commission that the event tomorrow starts at 9:30, and it is in room 4 at level O. Below this meeting room. That means it's another big meeting room, so there's all the space we wish for participating in that meeting. In addition to announcing that the meeting will start at 9:30, there's also a pleasant offer in the respect that breakfast will be served for attendees in that meeting in the lobby outside the meeting room at 8:45. So those who didn't eat in their hotel or wherever they have their breakfast, they can show up in the ICCG tomorrow at 8:45 and have a nice breakfast before we start debating on the private standards issue.